This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is Riyad Wazazi welcoming you to another episode of the Seerah of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, entitled Walking with the Prophet, or Upon the Footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So last week we talked about the birth of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, and we showed you some pictures of the place where he was born in Mecca عليه الصلاة والسلام. And today we'll be talking about the rada'a, the breastfeeding of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and his childhood, and a little bit of his adulthood as well, inshallah ta'ala. So, brothers and sisters, when Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام was born, we talked again, last week I mentioned about, you know, a little bit about his name, Muhammad, and the meaning of Muhammad. You know, when something, it comes, all it is derived from Hamd, you know, something to be praiseworthy of. So Allah, the name of Allah, Al-Hamid, it's derived from, you know, Al-Hamd. And then Muhammad, someone who is too much praised, you know, they call him Muhammad. Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, ibn Abdul Muttalib, the son of Abdul Muttalib. This is the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad. Ibn Hashim, the son of Hashim, the son of Abdul Manaf, the son of Qusay, the son of Adnan, the son of Ismail, the son of Ibrahim. So his progeny goes all the way to Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Let me just go back here. So Muhammad ibn Abdullah, remember, my brothers and sisters, the least you could remember is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. Right? Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. When the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was born, there were a lot of things being said about his birth, some stories which are not very authentic, some are sort of like Hassan or whatnot. So let us just give you a summary, inshallah ta'ala. So I'm going to go back to and share with you my content, bi-idhnillah, so that you can take some notes if you like, inshallah. Okay, here we go. The Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام was born 50 days before the incident of the elephant. We talked about that incident when Abraha wanted to destroy the Kaaba. And he came along with his army and elephants, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed those elephants with Tayr Ababi. So the authentic part is that he was born on a Monday. But what day on Monday? Some said the 12th, some said the 13th, some said the 14th of Rabi' al-Awwal. But there's discrepancy with regard, again, of even the month. Some said it was not Rabi' al-Awwal, you know. So, but at any rate, Prophet Muhammad was born on a Monday, alayhi salatu wasalam, the 650 years after the death of Isa, alayhi salam. There's also some discrepancy with regard to his circumcision. Some reports said that he was born circumcised, alayhi salatu wassalam. So we're not going to get into the, you know, the discrepancy part. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His mother, when she was pregnant, his mother Amina, there was also many reports saying that he, when she was pregnant, she did not feel any pain during labor. When she was giving birth, she did not go through any pain as well. It's been reported that she saw a light coming out from her. You know, there were a lot of reports from different, you know, historians and whatnot. But his mother, Amina, when she was pregnant, or when she gave birth to the Prophet Muhammad, and it's been said that whenever she wanted to breastfeed him. And then we will talk about his breastfeeding as well. Prophet Muhammad السلام, would be, and this is some, you know, like an interesting part about his breastfeeding, that he would be, some said that he was, he would be looking up with his eyes to the sky, you know, and also he had another brother from breastfeeding, from Harima, and then he would not eat until his brother would eat. You know, there were other, you know, like many reports that you could find. But again, we will try, inshallah ta'ala, to stick only to the most authentic reports, inshallah ta'ala. So from the tradition, brothers and sisters, from the tradition of the people of Mecca, they used to send their newly born to be raised in the suburbs. You know, those of you who've been to Mecca, subhanAllah, Mecca is a very, very busy town. Mecca, remember, we said is the center of trade, the center of the Arab Peninsula. There were many people that would, you know, that used to travel to Mecca for trade, for commerce and whatnot. Though some Arabs, some were not, you know. So they used to send their kids, their newly born, to be raised in the suburbs for many reasons. One is to, you know, grow up learning the proper Arabic, the proper language of the Arabs, to learn, subhanAllah, the life of the of the shepherds and of the Arabs and those who live in the desert and also khshawshinu, as the, you know, the Prophet used to say, khshawshinu, teach your kids to be a little bit rough, you know, a little bit, you know they walk maybe barefooted and whatnot. It's okay. So, you know, the life in the suburbs, the life in the desert is not as easy as the life of, let's say, the town or the city, right? It's a little bit more rough. So these kids, they used to also, you know, not only that, but also grew up in a place where the air is more pure and whatnot. So they used to send the newly born to be raised in the suburbs. We heard about the very well-known story of the Prophet Muhammad as-salam and Halima. But before that, brothers and sisters, who was the very first person who actually, you know, nursed or breastfed Prophet Muhammad as-salam? A lot of people may not know this, but actually the very first person who actually breastfed Prophet Muhammad, her name is Thuwaybiyyah. Thuwaybiyyah, Mawla Abi Lahab. She was actually the jariyah of Abu Lahab, who's the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So she was the first one who breastfed Prophet Muhammad, so much so that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he saw a dream that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the punishment, you know, on a Monday on Abu Lahab in hellfire, because Abu Lahab subhanallah, when Thuwaybiyyah, she was the first one who breastfed Prophet Muhammad, he freed her, you know. She was a slave, a female slave working for Abu Lahab. So he freed her, and because of that, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates his punishment upon him. So that was the very first person who breastfed Prophet Muhammad, as I said. And then nurses used to come from different, you know, regions to Mecca, choosing newly born. So they used to come, and amongst them was a woman by the name of Sa'diyah, you know, As-Sa'diyah, you know, bint Abi Du'ayb. And she was from a qabila called Banu Sa'd, right? She came along with her husband Al-Harith ibn Abdul Izzah, you know. So they came along, you know, other wet nurses, you know, looking for some newly born. And Prophet Muhammad was known to be an orphan. We'll talk about, you know, his father, inshallah ta'ala, in a moment. So he was an orphan. And so they were looking for someone who actually, because, you know, these wet nurses, they're looking for, they not only use that as a mean of, you know, like helping out, but also a mean of you know, some rizq, you know, for them. You know, a mean of monetary, you know, help and assistance, and, you know, for them. So they were looking for someone who probably, you know, who have like, you know, some baby with coming from well-known, you know, parents or whatnot, so that they can get some help from the parents as well. So came Prophet Muhammad. He was alone. You know, he was, with his mother, of course, but he was, you know, he was known to be an orphan. And if the father was not, you know, wasn't there, that means that, you know, that boy was maybe, you know, a poor boy, you know, baby coming from a poor family. So they were looking for somebody who maybe was, you know, more of a high profile family. And they kept on looking. They could not, subhanAllah, find the one. And all the other witnesses, they got babies except the family of Halima Sahdiya, you know. So they were coming back, and Sahalima told her husband, you know what, we're not going to go back empty-handed. Let us, you know, get this boy and get some barakah, get some hasanat. And they used to believe in this, you know, getting hasanat. You know, at least we can, you know, go back and, you know, and although he's an orphan, but, you know, we'll just help out this family. So Halima Sahdiya, she said, I took, when she was, by the way, when she was going to Mecca, she had this mule, and her mule was the slowest amongst all the other mules. They used to tell her, yeah, Halima, you're making us late. Come on, yeah, like quickly. And she was saying, you know, it's not me, it's the mule, right? And then, subhanAllah, when she picked up Prophet Muhammad, their life changed completely, starting from the mule itself. The mule became so fast. She could not even control that mule when she was, you know, going back to her tribe, so much so that the other witnesses used to tell her, Halima, hold on, ya Halima, hold on, ya Halima, and you're going so fast. She could not, you know, subhanAllah, control that mule. Who was on top of that mule was Halima, and khayru khalqillah, the best of all, you know, of mankind, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, as a baby. Right, she took him home, and then khalas, other miracles that happened just with the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Halima, subhanallah, she became Muslim later on when Prophet Muhammad was 55 years old after the Fath of Mecca. Right, he was looking, you know, and then he noticed that there was this woman looking at him from far and smiling, an old woman. Who's that old woman looking at me and smiling? That's Halima. Halima. He did not know, because, you know, Prophet Muhammad, you know, when you know, he got back from, you know, went back to his mom, and then after his mom, you know, lived with his grandfather, then from his grandfather to his uncle, you know. There was contacts with Halima. So he did not see her until he was 55 years old. He did not recognize, you know, who she was. But then he went to her, alayhi salatu wasalam, ummi, 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 mom, mom, mom. You know, he did not forget, you know, what she did for him and whatnot. And, you know, and I will tell you how long he remained with her, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But this is, you know, if there's any indication, it indicates how, you know, the loyalty of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam towards his mom, from, you know, mom, his wet nurse, and also his brother, subhanAllah, from Halima in the Battle of Hunain. We'll talk about this. In the Battle of Hunain, when the Muslims defeated Hawazim, the tribe of, you know, that tribe, called Hawazim, they had so many spoils of war, and amongst the spoils, subhanAllah, was you know, things belonging to his brother from Rada, who he didn't even know, his brother from breastfeeding, the brother the son of Halima Sa'diya, and alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked the Sahaba if they could return whatever they have taken from his brother and give it back to him. You know, he just requested, why, Rasulullah? He says, he's from my brother from Arada. He's the son of Halima and Prophet Muhammad, as-salam. Some Sahaba actually did return, and other Sahabas refused. So the Prophet Muhammad, he went and he bought, you know, whatever they had taken from from his brother from wet nursing, and he bought it from them and he gave it back to his brother. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. So this is again another little picture of the loyalty of Prophet Muhammad alayhi as-salatu wassalam. Halima, when she died, she was buried in Al-Baqi' in Medina. This is a picture, you know, of Al-Haram Al-Madani, and we see where that green sign is. You know, this that plain there is actually Al-Baqi'. That all area is Al-Baqi'. Al-Baqi' is the cemetery, right? Is the cemetery in Medina. There's only one, and it's Al-Baqi'. And she was buried there. Let me show you a better picture. Behind you, you see Al-Masjid Al-Haram or Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi, right? And this picture that you see here is this is called Al-Baqi', the graveyard or the cemetery, and all these rocks that you see there represents, you know, people, you know, buried there. But this particular place here that you see in the center, it is being said that it is the grave of Halima al-Sa'diya radiallahu anha. So that's what it's been said there. Allahu a'lam. So after the breast incident, what happened to Prophet Muhammad? So he lived with Halima al-Sa'diya until he was 2 years old. Returned back to his mom, and then Halima kept asking her mom and begging her, let me have him, you know, because they, subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal put so much blessing in her livelihood, in her income and whatnot, so much so that her that she used to have a cattle, and her cattle, subhanAllah, she used to have like a goat. And they were so skinny, but with the coming of the Prophet Muhammad, they started, subhanAllah, you know, providing them with more milk. The cattle grew exponentially, subhanAllah. So she noticed that barakah, the coming of the barakah that with the coming of the Prophet Muhammad. So she requested her mother, she requested his mom, you know, Amina. So she, if she can get, you know, get him back, you know, and keep him for another couple of years or more. So she took him. And then the Prophet, when he was in the age of 4 with his brother from Halima, there was something that happened. It's called the breast incident. So he was him and his brother sitting. And then it's been said, and this hadith is sahih, that Jibreel, alayhi salam, he came down, right? And then he opened the breast of the Prophet Muhammad, put his took out his heart and washed it with zamzam water, and then put it back and stitched up the breast of the Prophet Muhammad. His brother, when he saw that, he got so scared, ran to his mom. Mom, something happened to my brother. They thought it was some action of the jinn. They came back. Prophet Muhammad was awake. And then they saw the stitching on the breast of the Prophet Muhammad. So Halima, she got so scared. And then she just took back Rasulullah to his mom, Amina. What happened? Why, you know, you wanted to keep him. And then Halima said, you know, she did not wanted to mention that story, but she just said, you know, here's your baby back. And then she left. With regard to the father of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, Abdullah. Abdullah, brothers and sisters, was a businessman. Let me come back here to you. So just so you can see me, inshallah. Here we go. Here we go. The father of Prophet Muhammad, we said his name is Abdullah. Abdullah was a tajir, was a businessman, or a trade. He used to be in trade, just like most, you know, Quraysh, majority of the men of Quraysh. But he went on a business trip, and Amina was pregnant. His wife, Amina, was pregnant. So as he went to Sham, he was coming back from Sham, he passed by Medina. At the time, Medina had a different name, right? We'll talk about Medina, inshallah, ta'ala. So he passed by Medina. He had to visit his brothers, and his family. He had some family members living in Medina at that time. So he went to visit them on the way back from Sham, and he got sick and he died. This is the father of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi as-salatu wassalam. And he was buried in Medina, right? He was buried in Medina. So when Abdullah died, how old was Prophet Muhammad? How old was he? He wasn't even born yet. He was in the belly of his mom. He wasn't born yet, alayhi salatu wassalam. So what I wanted to say here, brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad, he did not have that chance to say father or to say dad. He did not have that privilege, that honor, right, of calling his dad or seeing his father, right? He did not say that, but he was filled with his heart, was filled with atifa, with leniency, with kindness. He wanted to use that fatherhood. So who did he use it with? We'll talk about Zayd when he adopted Zayd ibn Haritha, because he wanted someone, to call him dad, father. And we'll talk about his children, later on. And his sons who died one after another, right? So he wanted to be a dad, alayhi salatu wasalam, but he did not have that privilege of saying dad, but he will see how his life was as a dad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he lived with his mother, Amina, until, when he was four, and they used to have a jariya, like a female slave by the name of Ummu Ayman. Ummu Ayman, she used to live with them as well, and she used to be she used to take care of Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. She used to help his mom, Amina, taking care of Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. So when he was 6 years old, so let me go back and share with you the PowerPoint, inshallah, so that you can take some notes. Hold on a second. Here we go. Screen here. When Prophet Muhammad was 6 years old, his mother Amina and Ummu Ayman, they went on a trip to Medina to visit the family of her father, of her husband, or late husband, Abdullah. And also, this is another message right there, right? Of single moms, or maybe moms who are, lost their husbands. They wanted to connect, she wanted to connect her son with his father's family. Also, another message, a beautiful message, loyalty of Amina, to her late husband. And her son, right? She wanted her son to know about his family, although her husband died a while back, but she wanted her son to keep that, contact with his father's family. So she went to visit her family in Medina. On the way back, she died. She was with Ummu Ayman. On the way back, she died close to Medina, in the Al-Hawali, an area called Al-Hawali, a few hundred kilometers from Medina. And this is where she died, and she was buried by Ummu Ayman. Prophet Muhammad was there. He was 6. He witnessed the burial of his mom. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim, brothers and sisters. There's a hadith about Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, when, subhanAllah, he was coming back, was traveling, and then with the Sahaba. And then he saw, he passed by this very old grave. And then he came down from his camel. Then he went by that grave. And all of a sudden, he started crying, weeping. the Sahaba, they started crying too. They did not know, in fact, why Prophet Muhammad was crying. And then when he came back, they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, whose grave was that? He said, this is my mother's grave. I took permission from Allah to visit her grave. So Allah allowed me to visit her grave. And I wanted to make dua for her, but Allah Azza wa Jal prohibited me, as my mother died not in the state of Iman. Allahu Akbar. As my mother died, the hadith is actually authentic. It is in Sahih Muslim. So you cannot, you know, no one can argue with this hadith. He wanted to pray for his mother and he was prohibited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as his mother died, not in the state of Iman. We're not going to get into this, you know, argument about the prophet's dad, mom, you know, they're in Jannah or hellfire or whatnot, you know, but Allah is not going to ask you, you know, when you, you know, he's not going to ask me, you know, did Prophet Muhammad's dad, you know, is he in hellfire or is he in Jannah and whatnot? But we're not going to get into this, you know, this discrepancy or argument or whatnot. But the hadith states clearly that Prophet Muhammad wanted to make dua for his mother and he was prohibited, alayhi salatu wasalam. Although, brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad had one dua, just like all the prophets. And listen to this. He had one dua, just like all the prophets. And this dua was mustajab. Prophet says every prophet has a dua mustajab, has a granted dua. Every prophet. And all the other prophets utilize their dua. All of them utilize, except me, he says. I have stored my granted dua. I have stored it. I have stored it. I have saved it. So I can use it in the day of judgment for my ummah. So I can use it for my ummah, you know. So he wants to use that dua. I could have used it for his mom, but he did not want to use it for his mom. He wants to use it for his nation, for Allah to forgive his nation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, brothers and sisters, his mother died. He was 6 years old. So, Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather, took charge of him until he was eight. So, from his birth until 4 years old, he was with Halima. From 4 to 6 years old, he was living with Amina. And then from, you know, 6 to 8 years old, he was living with his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib used to love Prophet Muhammad, ﷺ, used to take him every day with him because Abdul Muttalib was from the elite of Quraysh, of Mecca. So he used to bring Prophet Muhammad, you know, with him to sit with him in his gatherings. You know, he used to sit next to him. And Prophet Muhammad would not go and play with other kids. He would go and sit with the elite of Mecca, subhanAllah, you know, until Abdul Muttalib died. Prophet Muhammad was 8 years old when his grandfather died. And then who took over again? Who took over, you know, to take care of Prophet Muhammad was his uncle. His uncle, you know, Abu Talib. His uncle, Abu Talib, took care of Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Brothers and sisters, there's this ayah here. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Yatim, he was orphaned. There's no stability in the life, in the childhood of Prophet Muhammad. Imagine, there's no stability. For, you know, for, he was 4 years old. He moves to, you know, from Halima, his wet nurse, to his mother, Amina. He lives with Amina until he was 6 years old. And then his mother died. So he lives with his Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather, until he's, you know, 8 years old. And then Abdul Muttalib dies. And then he moves to Abu Talib, his uncle. You can't see, like, the Prophet Muhammad had no stability in his childhood, whereas stability is very, very important at that age. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Didn't he find you yatim فَآوَى? Weren't you yatim, Ya Rasulullah? You know, didn't he find you an orphan and then he gave you refuge? He gave you refuge. What other refuge did he give him? You know, sometimes there are people, you know, living with their parents. They're living with their parents, kids living with their parents, but as if they are orphaned. As if they are orphaned because the parents are not there. Mom is busy, father is busy. He has parents, but they are, you know, acting like, subhanAllah, as if they are orphans. Whereas Prophet Muhammad, although he was an orphan, and he maybe, you may say, he did not live to get that hanan, you know, that love, that affection from his mom, from his dad, yet he was a river of affection, a river of rahmah, a river of mercy. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. So he lives with his uncle until he was 25 years old. Until he was 25 years old. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But from what did he want to do? Prophet Muhammad, when he was 8 years old, he wanted to what? He wanted to work. He wanted to do something. So what did he do from 8 years old until 15 years old? He worked as a shepherd. Now, all prophets, by the way, were shepherds, right? So it's not like a disgrace to be a shepherd. All prophets were shepherds. And why shepherd, brothers and sisters? Why shepherd? It's really interesting to understand that, subhanAllah, when you're a shepherd, you're looking after, you know, a cattle. And it's so hard to keep and to control, you know, sheeps. Cows are, you know, somewhat easy to control. Camels, easy to control. But when you talk about sheeps, they're easy. They can, you know, easy to run, to subhanAllah, go here or there or whatnot. This is why every shepherd has a dog. They have to keep the that cattle together, right? So Prophet Muhammad had to learn that skill, subhanAllah, because later on, he will not only be a prophet, he will be a leader. And the leader has to understand how to keep people together. You will see this talent coming out, you know, at some point during his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, the talent, the skills he learned being a shepherd. Shepherd, you know, you've got to be patient to be a shepherd, right? So he learned some of to be shepherd. He learned hilm, forbearance. He learned, you know, to be, subhanAllah, not to be hasty in things, to take things easy. All there's so many skills you learn by being a shepherd. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, like I said, when his grandfather died, the grandfather was about 90 years old. He moved to live with his uncle, Abu Talib, and he worked as a shepherd until he was 15 years old, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then from 15 years old until 35, because when he was 25, you know, then his uncle will die later on. We'll talk about his uncle, not now. But his uncle will die when Prophet Muhammad, you know, subhanAllah, will be fully, you know, after the risala, after the prophecy of Prophet Muhammad in the year of the huzn, the year of sadness. We'll talk about this later on, inshaAllah ta'ala. So he worked in trade from 15 until 35. Then trade. Why trade? Why trade? No, we talked about shepherd. Why shepherd? Why trade? Again, brothers and sisters, to learn about people, to learn the essence of people, subhanAllah, the ins and outs. When you deal with them with money, yeah, Umar ibn Khattab used to ask that question. You know, he said, do you know a person? He says, yeah, I know that person. But he says, okay, have you done business with him? Have you traveled with him? Have you lived with him? Then you don't know him. Then you don't know that person. You may, you know, be so close to a friend, subhanAllah, a person, and then when you start doing a business, then you will truly know that person. When you start dealing with money, na'am, trade. And then you will see that this trade, Prophet Muhammad will also have to travel. Then when you travel, you learn and acquire other skills, right? So these are all things that will come in handy, of course, you know, when he will become a prophet. He will know. Need to, and you know how to lead, how to treat people, how to be forbearant with people, how to, you know, deal with them when it comes to finance, you know, economical trades and whatnot. So you will see that happening, and you will see that come in handy in the life of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi as-salatu was-salam. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, at the age of 23 years old, he will talk to his uncle and he says, I want to learn more trade, because his uncle was a local trade. He did not do like, you know, really, you know, long types of, you know, trips and whatnot. So he wanted to learn other skills. So he gets hired by Khadija. Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha, she was a very interesting woman. She was a very intellectual woman. She was very bright. She was very bright. She was very beautiful. She was also rich. She was married prior of the Prophet Muhammad, and she inherited lots of money from her late husband, right? So she wanted someone, actually, because at that time, people who were doing trade were mostly men. So she had, you know, a fortune, and she needed someone to that she can trust, that she could, you know, use to trade with her. So she hired Prophet Muhammad alayhi as-salatu wassalam. I call this the greatest love story of all time. Na'am, the greatest love story of all. Why? You shall see, brothers and sisters. So she hired him. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam started, his first trip, you know, he went on with Maysara. Maysara, he's the manslave or the worker of Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha. So he accompanies him on his first trip. He accompanies Prophet Muhammad on his first trip. And he noticed how Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam was so trustworthy, was so gullible. He was not lying. And he also noticed that he did not make sujood to any idol. He wasn't a prophet at the time. Yet Prophet Muhammad, he did not swear by any idol, nor he swore to lie or whatnot. He was very truthful. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, when he traveled and then, you know, to sell his merchandise to Sham, he made, you know, he doubled his profit. How did he double his profit? Prophet Muhammad sold his merchandise before reaching Sham. Before reaching Sham, he sold his merchandise and then bought new merchandise in Sham. And then he came back to Mecca and sold it in Mecca. So he doubled the profit. Allahu Akbar. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Khadija was very, very impressed. She was impressed by Prophet Muhammad and what Maysara told her about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was single, and Prophet Muhammad was single. Yes, she was older than Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad, at this time, he worked for her for a couple of years. He was 25. She was 40, according to the majority of the sound hadith, that when, you know, we're talking about the marriage of Prophet Muhammad, of course, you know, I will tell you some details about that marriage, but she was older than him, radiallahu anha wa afdaha. But brothers and sisters, is it okay to marry a wife who's a woman who's older than you? Or does the husband always have to be, or the man has to be, or, you know, always older than the woman? What happened? How did he marry her? Did he propose to her? What was her dowry? Did he give her a dowry? Prophet Muhammad used to work for her. So how did he support her? Did he support her, or she was supporting him financially? What was her dowry, as I said? Why do I call this the greatest love story of all? How long did they live together? But also the beauty is how they were living. How many kids did they have? How many boys, how many girls? Was she the very first person actually who embraced Islam? Khadija? How old was she? What kind of support did she give Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam? Was she a happy wife? Was Prophet Muhammad a happy husband? What are the four A's of a happy wife, by the way? What are the four A's of a happy wife? These are all very, very interesting, brothers and sisters, you know. And inshallah ta'ala, I will hold this until next, until inshallah ta'ala, next episode. Yes, it will be like a cliffhanger kind of thing. In the next episode, inshallah, we'll be talking about, you know, the marriage of Prophet Muhammad as-salam and his preparation for to receive the first revelation, you know, the revelation when he would, you know, for his prophecy, alayhi salatu wasalam. There were certain things that would happen before him becoming a prophet, alayhi salam, some preparation, some visions that would happen, you know, before him coming, you know, or becoming a prophet. But first, I wanted to talk about that beautiful, beautiful love story, him and Khadija radiallahu anha wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, until next week, I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to bless you all, to reward you all for being, you know, for joining us. I ask Allah to also put to bless our brothers and sisters from Ikna Relief who have made this session possible and this stream, you know, possible. May Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, grant them tawfiq. I urge you to support their cause. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bless you all. Jazakum Allah khair. Until next week, my brothers and sisters, this is Riyad Ozazi saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.